Welcome to Have You Heard. Have You Heard is a weekly discussion with musicians and people that just love music, where we get to ask you, hey, have you heard? Each week, Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer will discuss their favorite music or the music other musicians and artists simply couldn't live without. Find and explore new favorite music you didn't know you loved with hosts Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer. Welcome to Have You Heard. Good evening and welcome to Have You Heard, a beautiful installment tonight of some amazing music. This is great. First of all, I would just like to say I hope everybody who's listening, I hope you're doing well. I hope you're safe. I hope you are sheltering in place and that you have plenty of great music to listen to and plenty of good food and good everything, good vibrations. And just know that we're all in this together. You know, this is crazy, you know, talk about living through history. This is living through history right here. And, you know, we're all persevering. We're all coming together. So I want to invite everybody to check out haveyouheardjazz.com. Adding new shows, adding new old shows, shows that were new at some point, but now they're old. They just haven't gotten up on the website. I've been taking care of that. I've also started a new indie edition series. Mostly can only be found on haveyouheardjazz.com. A couple of the shows will be able to air on WICR right here on our regular time, Wednesday night, but the majority of these things are going to be on our website, haveyouheardjazz.com. And if you want more information, go there. You can email us at hyhjazz@gmail.com. You can find us at Have You Heard Jazz on Facebook. Jared Thompson, great tenor sax player here in town, put out a call on Facebook for people to email me to get on the show. And many people did. And I've been slowly meeting up with them, listening to their music. Matthew and I have been sorting through everything and getting stuff put together for this indie edition. We interviewed Mark Baselli with his new release with Claude Sifferlin. We had a great conversation just kind of out of the blue with Gary Walters. We were both walking down the FaceTime street and we bumped into each other, socially distancing, of course, and we ended up chatting for a long time. It was great. But tonight, however, is a beautiful show that we're very, very happy to bring to you. We get lots of music from radio promoters, and this one caught our eye, and we're finally getting to it. This album, The Vagabond, came out in February of this year, and it's by Aaron Deal. He won the American Pianist Association Cole Porter Fellowship in 2011. Many of you have heard of him, have heard him play, and know that he's a spectacular player. And we actually caught up with Aaron, so if you stay tuned, we're going to have a great conversation with Aaron that's going to cover lots of different aspects of his playing and his career. But to get us started, I want to play a tune from his album entitled Polaris. It's a great tune with a great band. Here it is tonight on Have You Heard, the great pianist Aaron Deal. Polaris by Aaron Deal from the album The Vagabond. Man, this is such a great band. Aaron Deal on piano, Paul Sekivy on double bass, and Greg Hutchinson on drums. Woo, man. I remember hearing Greg for the first time with Dee Dee Bridgewater at a previous incarnation of the APA. She had come to perform, and with her group, Kenny Phelps ended up touring with her for a long time. Anyway, she's just marvelous. And Aaron, if you go back and you can, it's all on YouTube. The American Pianist Association 2011 Cole Porter Fellowship Awards. Aaron Deal's on there, and it's absolutely great. Great trio, great band. That was Polaris. The album, The Vagabond, I highly recommend it. It's really great. We're going to do a trio of tunes for the piano trio. Why not? This is Lamia, beautiful tune, then Kaleidoscope, and ending the trio will be the title track of the record, The Vagabond. So Lamia, Kaleidoscope, and The Vagabond, all by pianist, composer, all-around great guy, Aaron Deal. Kaleidoscope, moving into the title track of this great album, The Vagabond. You're listening to Have You Heard right here on WICR. I'm Richard Dole, your host. And as promised, as I mentioned earlier, so we were talking with Aaron Deal, and Matthew and I had a great interview with Aaron not too long ago. And I think it was just like 5 days ago, but it may have been 32 years ago. I have no concept of time anymore. I do remember that it was a great conversation. He's a super nice guy, a wonderful musician, and it was great getting to know him and talking with him. So here it is, our conversation with Aaron Deal. We've been listening to his music all evening, and now we are going to speak with the one and the only, a spectacular pianist, Aaron Deal. Aaron, welcome to Have You Heard? Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much. It's my privilege to be on the show.
Well, you clearly haven't heard the show, but yes, this will go down as one of your moments of your life the next few minutes. But first of all, let me just say congratulations on the last time I saw you in person was at the 2011 American Pianist Association when you won the Cole Porter Fellowship. And man, what I just, in preparation for talking to you, I went back and I listened to that night and like your work with DD and, you're playing Nardis with the big band was just like really cool. It brought back a lot of really fun memories for me. So when you look back on your, career, which is just blowing up, man, it's like every time, you know, we hear about you, it's just something a little bit cooler and hipper. Is how does that, the winning of that fellowship play into the grand scheme of things in your career?
Well, I will say first, I think having that involvement with the Cole Porter Fellowship in 2011 for the APA, it's definitely given me first, the opportunity to record with a major independent label, specifically Mac Avenue Records, which I suppose put me on an international playing field as a solo artist. Before, I had recorded a few independent albums myself, released Live at Caramore in 2009 and then Live at the Players, I think, in 2010 or 2011, one of those years. So when I did receive the fellowship, it gave me the opportunity to record with Mac Avenue. That's one of the that's part of receiving the fellowship, is you record and get a recording contract. And I've just recorded my third album, yes, for Mac Avenue, called The Vagabond, that was released in February of 2020, so for Valentine's Day. So, and then also just you know, having a network of people that I have been helpful and supportive. Joel Harrison, who's the CEO of the organization, he when I wanted to get a Steinway piano, I was being considered as a Steinway artist, but I didn't have a Steinway piano. I called Joel. I said, you know, where can I find a Steinway? He said, guess what? I have someone here in Indianapolis who, Greg Gigax, who you probably are familiar with.
Yes.
Yeah. Craig, he had a Steinway M that had just become available. I flew out to Indianapolis maybe 4 or 5 days after I found out about this, looked at it, played it within 10 minutes. I said, yeah, I want this piano. And so we made a deal for it. So, I mean, you know, things like that, you know, it's always good to have a network of folks that you can call upon if there's something that you need or some advice about career or music or whatever it may be. And it's just a family in general, of folks who just love the piano, who are supportive of the artists, who participate in the programs that the APA provides. Yeah,
it's really an amazing experience for us, just being on the other non-stressful side of the piano. And it's always, the jazz orchestra has been playing, I don't know, maybe we've done 4 or 5 of the finals. And it's, for the rehearsal, wherever we might be,
we might not have the best piano in the rehearsal room. That clearly not something that is going to be used for the performance. But whoever like sits down and just the first chord, we all know in the band, like, okay, this person is it. And I remember this, this particular year, you know, we had people coming in and everybody's great players and they have their own very unique style. But when you came in and sat down and played, it was like pulling the notes out of the piano as, you know, as opposed to physically manipulating it. And so like that sound, to me is a really, is a beautiful thing. I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense how anybody can, different people sit at the same piano and get a different sound out of it. It's just amazing. Do you feel that your classical background has helped you with that sound quality?
I think that definitely has helped. But I mean, I think I just have personally have an interest. I always have had an interest with different shades and colors of sound that can be produced out of the instrument. And, you know, because classical music has such a varied, I mean, the literature in classical, European classical music is, I mean, you're talking roughly for the piano, at least, you know, 300 years, give or take, and plus keyboard material that wasn't necessarily written for the piano, but, you know, was adapted for the piano. You know, originally was like harpsichord or clavichord or something like that. So, I mean, there's so many different approaches to sound in the classical literature. And then when you get into jazz, specifically, you have so many different types of players who had a very unique sound, unique right. vocabulary, going from someone like Earl Hines to somebody like Thelonious Monk to people who are around today playing like Chick Corea. I mean, everyone has a very specific tonal quality, and that's one of the ways we are able to identify people on record just by their sound. And that's always been fascinating to me. And I remember actually Sullivan Fortner, who is the 2015, I believe, Cole Porter fellow. He was talking about in an interview with Aaron Parks the other day that the live stream that the APA presented. Mm-hmm. He was talking about one of his teachers and how that teacher was always talking about the piano as an orchestra mm-hmm. and talking about orchestration on the instrument. And I think that's so important as a pianist to look at the instrument not just as the instrument itself, but as a way of sort of replicating an entire ensemble. And, you know, in certain voices, you might have the trombones or the violas and the cellos or whatever, French horns. And then in other voices, you might have the clarinets and the piccolos and try to replicate the sound of some kind of ensemble. I think that's, something that I try to strive towards when I'm playing the instrument and playing the music, whether it's something by Bach or it's something by, you know, something that I wrote or something by Duke Ellington, and it just doesn't matter.
So let me ask you, Aaron, about your new album, The Vagabond, which you mentioned came out in February of this year. To me, listening to this compared to your previous albums, it seems like it's very, to me, it's a very intimate affair, I think, that you know, it's just something very personal on this album that I you know, I kind of hear. And I wanted to give you some time to talk about how you put this album together, you know, what drew you to, you know, the music to put Prokofiev and Philip Glass on this album, along with your own works and John Lewis and Roland Hanna, and kind of give us a little background into how this whole album came together.
Well, first, I mean, I'll say that I wanted to record a trio album, and I had in the months before recording, I was on tour with Paul and Greg Hutchinson, and I wanted to draw from some of the compositions that we were playing on tour, number one, but I wanted to have the opportunity to maybe present some writing that I did, some tunes that I composed at various stages, some that was specifically for the albums, and then some that were written before and I hadn't recorded them. And then I also wanted to add, just a few touches of my personal influences. Roland Hanna is somebody that I was really getting into, the last 18 months or so. And then John Lewis is someone I always have admired since probably the beginning of college, when I had the opportunity to work for his widow and on his archive. And then Philip Glass is someone that I had worked with starting in 2014 on his Etudes projects, and he encouraged me to explore his music in the context of jazz. So I had all these personal connections to this music and to these composers, and I just wanted to have the opportunity to record maybe one of their pieces. And with the Glass, I actually recorded two of his compositions, the Etude and then Etude number 16 for piano. And then it was the theme from the second movement of his fourth string quartet. So it really drew on a variety of sources, as you can see. And hopefully with the idea that there was some continuity as well.
When people are listening to your record, The Vagabond, stuff that we're listening to tonight, what are you hoping people take away from it when they're listening to it? What should they be listening for to get the message that you want to convey to them?
I don't know. I suppose I've been working on more of a lyricism and poetry in my playing. Also a sense of not, I think when one is younger as a musician and a developing artist, especially when you're sort of on a somewhat public scale, you release a record for a label and then it's reviewed, and there's a sense of wanting to kind of prove, make a statement. Now I'm sort of going into the phase where I don't feel like I need to prove anything, and I simply want to record what I feel in the moment at that time is something that it's part of my own personal narrative, if you will, of exploring music, and especially having the opportunity recently of playing with like orchestras, playing Gershwin, Rhapsody in Blue, Concerto Neff, Second Rhapsody, played some of Florence Price's works, her piano concerto in one movement, and being in this classical infrastructure, and there's sort of a polarity, I think, that's still very prevalent in music, where you're doing this, you're playing classical music, or you're playing jazz, or this is this is one identity, this is another identity. And I'm, for all intents and purposes, just trying to use those influences to formulate my own sound, mm-hmm. my own vision of music, and not necessarily trying to adhere to the conventions of, what is universally probably defined as certain styles or certain genres.
Right. I've always, from hearing you back in 2011 with, almost 10 years ago now, pretty amazing. Definitely lyricism is something that I would attach to your style of playing. And I hear that, like there's always a development. You're going somewhere every time I hear your soloing, especially even back then. I think that's a major contributor as to why, you won that whole thing, smashed everybody down, but it's just a really beautiful musical phrase that you're making all the time. So it's, from my perspective, it's always very, I appreciate that.
Thank you. I mean, I remember that year, there are some very, wonderful musicians. All of the finalists that in 2011 that had participated, but you know, Leonard Cohen won 2019. Emmett, yeah. He won 2019, and he's come along, and he's, you know, he's developing as an artist, and Clint Zaleski is doing some very good things here in New York. So it's wonderful to see other musicians develop, you know, over the years, and see what they're up to, what they're doing, what kind of music they're making.
Well, Aaron, we appreciate your time. We'll probably, let's ask one more question. I have a question, I guess. You know, we're all kind of stuck in our homes right now as we as humanity try to figure out everything that's happening. So we find ourselves with a lot of time. Is there any music, classical, jazz, whatever it may be, that you've really taken this time to kind of dive into that you might haven't seen as an influence in the past that you're really just kind of digging right now?
It's hard to just pinpoint one recording or artist or piece. I mean, I've kind of been going back and forth with various recordings. For example, like Lionel Hampton, there's a solo that Melissa Aldana shared with me from, I think it's like 19, I can't remember the year, to be honest. But it's a solo on Stardust, which is incredible. And so from that, she started transcribing it, and I just started transcribing bits of it. Haven't really gotten through it. But through that, I started investigating more Lionel Hampton. And so there's a recording that I've been listening to of Chick Corea and Lionel Hampton from like the early 90s. I've been going back and listening to records by Joe Henderson. Oh, yeah. And reviewing some of his tunes, which are incredible, and a lot of them very difficult. Some records on ECM, like Kenny Wheeler. There's a, it's called New High, with Keith Jarrett, Dave Holland, and Jack Deach. And that, I mean, it just kind of runs the gamut. It's hard to really pinpoint. Richter's, Sviatoslav Richter. Some of his piano sonatas, recording of the piano sonatas 1 and 2 by Brahms. So I don't always have a method to listening. I just try to be open minded when I'm listening to something new and try to have repeated listens and then move on to something else. But it's been an extraordinary time, you know, despite all the circumstances, which are, you know, pretty, serious, you know, with the COVID-19. I simply try to stay at home. I do stay at home and try to sort of reflect on and how I can contribute when we get out of all of this. Hopefully we get out of all of it, but how I could come out of it as a better musician, and do that through listening and reflecting and playing and practicing. And it's a very strange existence right now. I think we will come out of it with sort of a better understanding and appreciation of our own humanity and what's important.
Right. I hope so. And I hope that music is a giant part of that understanding. And we can't wait to see what you do next, Aaron. Congratulations on everything. It's a great album. And thank you for taking time to speak with us today.
Richard, Matthew, thanks so much for having me.
Man, I got to tell you, that was such a fun interview, getting to talk with Aaron. He's such a nice dude. He's big time, man. You know, as you've heard all tonight, he's big time, and he's taking time out to talk with Matthew and I. That was so beautiful. He talked quite a lot. A little bit. We talked a little bit about his classical background
and the technique and everything that, you know, that goes into the piano playing before you really learn jazz, before he started playing jazz. And I would love to end the show with two pieces from his album that are both classical. One of them is entitled March from 10 Pieces for Piano. It's by Sergei Prokofiev. And then we're going to end with a beautiful piece called Piano Etude No. 16 by Philip Glass. And both everything Aaron does is just so, it's very refined and very precise. And yet there's a passion. They're like, there's still like that energy left there. And that's, I think that's a, such a delicate balance to find. So here we are. Our evening with Aaron Deal. What a great night. Thank you so much for tuning in. Here it is. March from the 10 Pieces for Piano, Opus 12 by Sergei Prokofiev. And ending the night, Piano Etude No. 16 by Philip Glass, as played by Aaron Deal.
Have You Heard is recorded and produced by Richard Dole and Matthew Altizer in the studios of WICR. The theme music is by Brent Wallerab from the BWJO album, Mezzanine. Feel free to follow us on facebook.com/haveyouheardjazz and do join us next Wednesday for another exciting installment of Have You Heard?